Welcome to this week's episode of the 108 Stitches. I got my co-host with me. Honey, say hi to the audience.
Hello.
Opening day is up on us, finally, after a really, really long off-season. Honey, what does opening day mean to you?
Opening day, the return of baseball, my favorite sport. I love all the fanfare, hanging out with friends, even though I didn't get to go this year. But you got to go and hang out with a lot of our friends and get to see the team for the first time and see, you know, how this season is going to kind of play out the beginning and get a feel for what this year is going to be like.
Opening day for me is the start of summer. Forget spring. It's the start of summer. Baseball has always been my passion. I want to be a sports journalist, baseball. I get to cover it for a living, and I love everything about baseball. That's what brought you and I together. I think that's why baseball is so important to me, because I have a lot of good memories about it. Why do you like baseball so much?
I grew up watching it. I grew up watching the Reds, Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, all those good old players, and I love baseball. I can remember going to school and getting perfect attendance and getting those Reds tickets, and my brother would take me, and it was the best time ever.
Now, the schedule was released last year, as it is every September. When it first came out, I circled three dates, the King Griffey Jr. Hall of Fame induction, and Pete Rose weekend. That is two of the most important things I'm looking forward to this season. The Reds, they might have a good season. Who knows? A lot of writers have them losing 100 games. Very possible. It depends on how well and how healthy they stay, if they have a decent rotation. If it's any indication in the first week that they went 5-1 on their homestand, but yet they've been struggling in Chicago, so it could go back and forth, and they could very easily, I could see them pushing 80 wins, maybe. That would be really pushing it. But the thing I'm looking forward to the most this year is just going to the games, enjoying time, not worrying about anything. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the same thing, not worried about, you being gone all the time. I like sitting with you and watching the game, and I really enjoyed last year learning how to keep score. So I'm hoping to do that again, you know, this time when we go to games, and especially, you know, with the games that are coming up, the Pete Rose weekend, and I like to see all those players.
We scheduled a special trip this year. One of our favorite players was Todd Frazier. He got traded to the Chicago White Sox. So, of course, they won't be coming to Cincinnati, but they'll be coming to Cleveland. We scheduled a trip just to Cleveland just to see him. What is your thinking behind that?
It was my idea, if you remember correctly. I love Todd Frazier, and I just want to see how well he's doing with the White Sox, how he is transitioned from the Reds to there, and just showing my support to him, because I'm still a fan of Todd Frazier. I don't care what team he's with. He's always been, for the past several years, he's been one of our favorite players.
Coming up, I have an interview with Benjamin Hill of MILB.com. Sit back, relax, and enjoy that. Welcome back to the show. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I know I did. I enjoyed
doing I'm talking to Benjamin Hill of MLB.com. Thank you, Benjamin, for joining the podcast. I appreciate it.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks.
What made you want to be a writer?
Well, I always liked writing going back to being a kid. I mean, maybe not, I guess like most writers, I maybe didn't enjoy the actual act of writing, but I enjoyed the finished product, and it was something I was better at than most things. But I didn't really set out in college or after college to be a writer. I think like a lot of things in life, it just kind of happened, and one thing led to another, and fell into the minor league world, and all of a sudden, that's who I am and what I do, the minor league baseball writer, and, you know, writing about the business and culture of minor league baseball.
Now, the culture, like minor league baseball culture, is that something that you wanted to write about, or is it just like something that just like fell into your lap?
Well, a little of both, I would say. To try to make a long story short, or maybe not as long, in 2005, I live here in New York City, and in 2005, I was between jobs, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and a friend of mine tipped me to the fact that MILB.com, the new site of minor league baseball, that had never existed before. You know, there had never been a site for all of minor league baseball. He was writing game recaps for the site and said, hey, you're looking for something new to do. Maybe you should too. And I kind of got my foot in the door that way, working night shifts part-time, game recaps in 2005, and then just kind of stuck around and started working during the day and not really knowing what I was doing. And one thing led to another. I started writing a promo column, and then I started my blog, and kind of inadvertently developed some industry expertise about the world of minor league baseball, you know, business and promotions and all that. And then finally did it long enough that turned into a full-time job and got a little travel budget. And I figured to be an expert at this world I'm writing about, I needed to see these places firsthand. And so started traveling in earnest in 2010 and been hitting different ballparks every year since.
What was the idea? You mentioned your blog. What was the idea of coming up with your blog?
Well, it was, like I mentioned, in 2006, I was asked to write a promo column, promo preview, detailing the top promos coming up in minor league baseball. And at the time, I didn't know much about that world, but I really enjoyed diving in and keeping track of all the promos. And it gave me a chance not really just to write about sports, but to write about all the things the teams are doing, which is more pop culture, the theme nights and the giveaways and the celebrity appearances. So once I started writing that column, I got to know the world pretty well. And then in the off season of 2007, in the fall of 2007, you know, had the idea to start a blog so I could cover more of that kind of stuff. And the blog kind of took on a life of its own. But that's through MILB.com. So ever since, about almost 9 years now, I've been, you know, writing articles for the website and then additional stuff on the blog as well. Ben's Biz Blog.
Now, every year before the season starts, usually you'll post like your travel plans for the upcoming season. What goes in like making those travel plans?
Well, it's kind of something that's evolved through the years. I'm actually been spending today putting together this year's travel post together. I'm a little late on it since the season's already started, but I'll be announcing this year's itineraries shortly. One thing that helps pick a region to visit is new ballparks. You know, last year there was new ballparks in Morgantown, West Virginia, and Biloxi, Mississippi, and in Nashville, Tennessee. So those all gave me kind of reasons to go to that region. So often I'll do something like that, a new ballpark or a specific event that I feel that needs to be covered. And then once I get to that area, then I try to make an itinerary, usually between 5 and 10 teams, you know, hitting other teams. And as the years have gone by, I've gotten pretty close to visiting all the teams. So now when I'm making schedules, in addition to the new stadiums, I'm also just trying to hit places I've never been before. And the way I look at it now, I should be able to have visited all minor league ballparks, all 159 parks, plus another dozen or so that no longer exist. I'll have visited all those, hopefully, by the end of next season.
How many teams or ballparks have you visited?
I was trying to make that list today. I think it's the numbers at 140 in terms of seeing a game at 140 minor league ballparks. 128 of them are operational right now. So I've got 31 to go in terms of the 159 in-use minor league ballparks. And I'm going to hit some of those this year and hopefully finish off the rest of them next year.
What is some of the best and worst things about, like, traveling in the minors and stuff like that?
Well, I'd say the best and worst things are just the best and worst things about traveling in general. You know, the best is I get to see places that I haven't seen before and get on the open road. And, you know, I live in New York City and I love it, but it's a very crowded, kind of claustrophobic environment. So it means a lot to me to get out of there and see places I've never seen. And one of the great things about the minors is it gives you an excuse to go to places that you wouldn't normally think of going. It helps contextualize American travels that otherwise you probably wouldn't think to go to some of these places. You know, if you were just scheduling a road trip or scheduling a vacation in America, you probably wouldn't say, let's go to Burlington, North Carolina, or Beloit, Wisconsin, or Modesto, California. But when you have minor league baseball to contextualize everything, it gives you an excuse to visit places you haven't. And in terms of the worst thing about it, it's probably just keeping my sanity and a semblance of routine in my life during the season when I'm also pretty frequently hitting the road as well. It's kind of hard to maintain a real life balance with the craziness of the summertime season. So that can be difficult, and just keeping up with everything. I'm a one man operation with the particular niche I cover, and there's 160 teams. So it can be hard staying on top of everything. And sometimes that, you know, causes stress and anxiety. But I really love this world, and I do my best to stay on top of it.
We mentioned travel earlier. What's like a normal a day for you during the season? What's a day like for you?
Well, if I'm on the road, it's a very different day than if I'm not on the road. On the road is a blur. I usually, you know, wake up in a hotel room and pretty much desperately don't want to get out of bed for those first 15 minutes or so because I'm thinking, like, where am I? Where do I need to go? Who do I need to talk to? How long is it going to take to get there? Where am I going to eat beforehand? What's the checkout time of this hotel? So it's just like maintaining all those day-to-day logistical things. So it's basically waking up, usually writing for a little bit, checking out of a hotel, poking around the downtown of wherever I am for an hour or two, if I have the time for that, driving to a new stadium, which could be anywhere from half an hour away to 6 hours away, and then doing it all over again, you know, hitting the ball game that usually in the nighttime, having a action-packed nine innings, and I basically never watch the games themselves, not because I don't like baseball, but because my world isn't really the game itself. It's everything going on around the game, so I'm just kind of usually running all over the stadium during the entirety of the game, and I don't leave until everything is done operationally, and I've said bye to everybody who I've gotten to know at the ballpark, and then back to a hotel room, maybe a new hotel room, and, you know, repeat that 5 or 10 times, and then go home and decompress and get ready for the next one.
Now, you mentioned that you like the promotion world, like the food and stuff like that. What's been your favorite promotion that you've seen or been at since your time at MLB.com?
It's tough. And to clarify, I am employed by MLB Advanced Media because they run MILB.com, but, you know, all my writing is not MLB, but MILB.com. In terms of the best things I've seen, you know, I get asked these kind of questions a lot, like, what's the best ballpark? What's the best food? It kind of blurs together, and I have so many good memories. In terms of, like, best promotions I've actually seen, sometimes it's something that, you know, that wouldn't be very exciting if you just – you know, just saw a description on a team website, but something like, you know, a scout night in Kane County when they have acres and acres of land beyond the ballpark and you're just part of this environment where all these scouts are watching movies and there's hundreds of tents set up beyond the ballpark and it's a beautiful summer night. You know, those things really make an impression on me. And, you know, I always reference the very first time I traveled to a ballpark to cover a promo, which was 2007. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I went to Altoona to cover their awful night promotion where they kind of intentionally do everything wrong and misspellings on the scoreboard and spork giveaways and a falsetto seventh inning stretch by a shirtless man wearing a cape, et cetera, et cetera. And that kind of describes my sensibilities. You know, I kind of like the off nights, as it were. I like being in small towns on a Tuesday night and just seeing what happens. A
couple of years ago, you had to come up with the designated theater role for your blog. Can you elaborate on that for a little bit?
I started in 2012 with the concept of a designated eater sometime during that season. But really since 2013, I've been doing that quite a bit or at every ballpark I go to. And the whole premise of that is I recruit someone at every ballpark I visit to be a designated eater and try the ballpark food. That's good for me in that I don't always want it to be pictures of me eating food every day and food's such an experience. Part of the minor league experience, but it all came about because of practical concerns, and it's because I got diagnosed during the 2012 season with celiac disease, meaning I had to go gluten-free. And so there's a lot of ballpark food I can't eat anymore. And, of course, I still had to cover the food and wanted to cover the food as an aspect of the ballpark experience. So I created the designated eater concept for people to essentially eat the food for me. So I've met dozens and dozens of people through the years, you know, who are my designated eaters. And I've got like a small army of loyal designated eaters all across the country, and I'm adding more every year.
One last question. What is the craziest thing that happened to you on the road?
At a ballpark or away from it or just?
Just in like general, like the craziest thing that's happened.
Yeah, kind of like... Kind of like the best worst stuff, a lot of it blurs together. I mean, I think some of the craziest is stuff I'm not expecting, and I show up and they're like, hey, do you want to be in this between inning contest? And then all of a sudden I'm on the field with a net trying to catch, you know, fish that have been shot into the air with a slingshot, or you know, zip lining into home plate from left field in Nashville's Asheville Tourist game, or riding a classic car out into the home plate in Modesto. There's just a lot of things that happen when, as they're happening, I'm like, I wasn't expecting this, or this is kind of crazy, and it doesn't really jibe with my real life. I get back home, and I'm like, what did I just do? but I kind of like that. I like having this sort of dual personality. I'm Ben Hill in my day-to-day life, the dude who lives in New York City, and then I go on the road, and I'm Ben's Biz, and I have all these adventures, and it's kind of fun.
Where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Ben's Biz, and that's my primary social media outlet. I do a lot of Vine videos throughout the season, also under the name Ben's Biz. I got an Instagram account, the Ben's Biz, because Ben's Biz is already taken. But basically, if you look up Ben's Biz, that's my calling card. I've got the Ben's Biz logo. I've got the Ben's Biz blog, Ben's Biz social media, and that's my world.
Ben, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to come on the show. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, my pleasure, Richie. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the show. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I know I did. I enjoyed doing that. We was talking about ballpark travel before the interview. Honey, what's the stadium that you want to visit the most?
I think the MLB stadium that I want to see the most is probably going to be Wrigley Field or maybe Dodger Stadium, because I do want to go to California. I've never been there, and well, other than the inside LAX airport, but I would love to see baseball and experience baseball in those two places.
Now, we are talking about ballpark traveling a lot. I guess my go-to stadium, it would probably have to be Wrigley Field. I've never been there. I've only been to two other stadiums, Turner Field and Progressive Field. Eventually, I'd like to hit all 30. I don't know if that's possible or not, but if we can hit one new one a season, we got tentative plans to go to Baltimore later this year. Hopefully, that will work out. We don't know yet. My forte is minor league baseball, and I would like to see more minor league baseball ballparks than MLB. Honey, do you see, when we first met, I was more major league, and do you see a progression in me leaning toward the minor leagues than the majors?
I do, because you've been, I think it's because you've been more active with the minor league, and I know you said that you want to visit more minor league teams. If I would have to pick a favorite minor league, it would be the Louisville Bats, because that is where we got engaged. And I would love to be able to go back there and experience that one more time.
Coming up, we got an interview with a Louisville Bats player. Jermaine Curtis, Louisville Bats, was in town earlier this week and got in touch with Jermaine Curtis, and he agreed to do an interview with me. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm Richie DeVotai, 27 Outs. I'm here with outfielder Jermaine Curtis of Louisville Bats. Jermaine, thank you for joining the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me here. I'm excited.
You've been at AAA level since 2013, which this would begin your third year in AAA?
This would be my fourth year.
Fourth year?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you describe like the differences between AAA level and a major league level?
Okay. Players are just more consistent. I know when I was in the major leagues, guys were more competitive and just much more tough mentally. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, I think at this level, all the players here can play in the major leagues. It's just the fact that, you know, are they mentally tough to stay? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you're playing in front of 30,000 fans and you have the newspapers and all those things. So, you know, I would just say that, you know, most of the guys are really strong mentally and, you know, they work hard. They work harder than everyone because they know that guys like me and other guys here are coming for their job, so they have to do well to stay there, to be consistent, to stay there.
You played in both the International League and the Pacific Coast League. Is there any differences in the league, or are they both about the same?
Oh, man. I would say the competition-wise, it's about the same, but the league is different in regards to the ball flies in the PCL. You hit pop flies and they'll fly out. They're launch out of the ballpark. So PCL is more of a hitter's league, so you'll see more home runs there. I think last year a guy hit 40 home runs in the PCL. I could be wrong, but I think it was like close to that. And here there was guys, I think the highest was about 20, close to 20. So, I mean, the parks here are much bigger and, you know, the balls don't fly as much. And this is a pitcher's league. So if you're hit here, I mean, you can hit anywhere.
You was drafted in the fifth round by the St. Louis Cardinals. What was it like to be drafted?
I was at UCLA my third year, and I got a call from a St. Louis Cardinals scout. I hadn't even talked to him before. I had basically did interviews with every team except the St. Louis Cardinals. So I got a phone call, and this guy was like, "I bet you don't know who I am." And I'm like, "Well, of course, this is a random number. I don't know who this is." And he goes, "I just drafted you in the fifth round. Congratulations to the St. Louis Cardinals." And my whole family was there, and everyone was excited, and, you know, they were giving me hugs, and it was pretty emotional. But I knew that was just beginning of a long road.
Like I said before, you've been in both leagues. What's been your favorite ballpark to play in?
I love playing Louisville and obviously Memphis, both of the towns that my hometown teams. So I would say, yeah, basically the hometown teams, Louisville and Memphis, they're both amazing. If I had to pick one, I would say I would go with Memphis. I love Memphis, being there on that field.
You appeared in 5 games with St. Louis. What was it like to play in the major leagues?
I mean, dream come true. I mean, that was very emotional day for me, my family, my first day getting into the game. But for playing up there, I mean, I knew one day I was going to play in the major leagues. I just didn't know when. And, I mean, it was exciting. My whole family, friends were there. And then I was getting messages from basically everyone in my city supporting me. So it was about, I seriously received like 200 text messages. It was just so random. People I had never talked to were messaging me saying thanks. My Twitter blew up. I mean, all my social media platforms blew up. It was an amazing thing. And I mean, I've been blessed to, you know, being able to say I'm one of the 18,000 people to play in the major leagues.
Is that extra motivation to get back there?
Oh, man, this is my, I don't know if you guys follow my social media, but I have this campaign that I started doing this off season, and the whole thing is rolled back to the show. And, I mean, obviously, since 2013, I've been fighting to get back to the majors. But this year, I just decided, you know, I was going to invest all in, you know, and that means, like, you know, weightlifting, just doing everything I possibly could to improve. I mean, to the point of, like, researching swings, you know, I literally nonstop all day was investing into my craft to get better. And I started this campaign with all my fans to call roll back to the show, and you know, having my fan base and friends and whatever follow me on this journey. And it's just been very exciting, and you know, every day I'm enjoying it, you know, and I play to one day get back. I mean, I had a taste of the forbidden fruit.
Speaking of social media, you're very interactive with your fans. Is that just something you do on your own, or you took from somebody else?
I mean, I kind of was, I thought about it. I'm like, man, social media could be used as a platform for good, you know? And I see a lot of things on social media that kind of disturb me. And then I also noticed that athletes don't use it as much, you know, and I felt like it's a way of communication amongst, like, people. It's a way for you to communicate to people and have a relationship with them. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna start, you know, interacting with fans, and I'm gonna start doing that more. And I fell in love with that. I enjoy every moment of it, talking to the little kids, talking to anyone who wants to, you know, chat with me. I get a lot of kids asking me for advice in baseball, and just sharing my journey with them. And, you know, it brought awareness to who I am, and it's been positively affecting others. And I mean, that's all you can ask for, is if you're doing something right, you know, doing something good.
I was just getting ready to ask you, has that made you a better person, interacting with the fans more?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, in my family, you know, my dad always taught me to, you know, try to positively affect others, you know, and try to help, you know. And sometimes you don't need to help as in, like, do, you know, the little things matter, you know. And just talking to a kid, saying, hey, man, you know, I follow kids, and I would just comment and say, hey, you know, that swing looks amazing. Or what I'll do is I'll have, like, kids start tagging me in their videos, and then I'll do a commentary of, like, my own ESPN on it, and then send it out to them. And, you know, the kids light up. They, you know, the parents love it, and everyone loves it, and it's just, I just have fun with it. I have a blast with it. My Instagram, if you want to follow me, is Jermaine Curtis 1, JerMaineCurtis, the number 1, Jermaine Curtis 1. You can follow me on YouTube. Just Google or YouTube Jermaine Curtis. And if go to Spuddle.com. That's where I'm showing my journey, if you're interested in following my journey and other players' journey. And the reason why I decided to create Spuddle.com was also to raise awareness for U.S. public schools, because 30% of U.S. public schools will eliminate sports programs by 2020. And I think that's a huge deal, because honestly, I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for baseball. And, you know, I'm so blessed to being able to play this sport. So, you know, and I want your kids to one day make it to the major leagues. Or if you're a young kid and you're looking to, you know, you know, playing the major leagues one day, I want you to play. So help me raise awareness. Go to Spuddle.com. If you want to tag me or send me a video of yourself, you know, playing, and I'll comment over it. I'll do that. I also send letters to certain exclusive fan members, telling them a little story of my life. And it's just all to raise awareness for sports. So thank you. My name is Jermaine Curtis, and I appreciate you for listening to this podcast.